most of us lean on the principles and traditions we were taught because we don't truly know how to return to the Word of God and put those things to the test. We don't really want to release that control to the Holy Spirit. We'd rather keep it ourselves and tell people what it means and what to think about it and how to interpret it. Constant drips, constant exposure to the Word, and you are getting filled.
You're going to get filled up.
Yeah, even when you don't think that one drop mattered, it absolutely mattered. We just put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We judge ourselves. Reading scripture is a lifelong endeavor. Mm-hmm. If you're in a season where all you can handle is, you know, 5 minutes, 2-3 days a week, great. Start there. Like, yeah. Thumbs up.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in.
Hello, and welcome to the Visibly Fit podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. It's a joy to be here with you today. Thanks again for tuning in. No matter where you are, maybe you're on a walk today and you're enjoying the outdoors and you're listening to this episode, I want to say thank you. Maybe you're driving your car on the way to work or on the way home. Thank you for choosing this podcast to listen to. Maybe you're traveling and you're listening to this podcast. That's awesome too. Laying out on the beach. I don't know. What are you doing? Whatever you're doing, thanks for tuning in. I'm excited about today's show. As you know, Visibly Fit is about being fit mind, body, spirit, and emotions. And it's important that we are understanding who we are in Christ. And when we do understand who we are in Christ, we operate at a different level. We operate physically, mentally, all the above, emotionally, relationally at a different level. And so today I have with me someone who's going to be talking about how to dive into God's Word and allow the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you instead of just opening up the book, opening up the Bible and being like, oh man, I don't know. I read this verse a million times and nothing really, it's just not speaking to me, right? Like it's kind of, you're just kind of going through the motions, right? We don't want to go through the motions when we read the Bible. We want the Bible to be what it is. And it's alive and it's got a message for you in this moment and in this season. So today I have Allie Patterson on, and she is a teacher. She's an author, wife, mom of four out of Cincinnati, Ohio. And she currently serves as a teaching pastor at Crossroads Church on the National Teaching Team. Allie is the leader of Woman Camp and founder of the Ignite Conference out of her passion for equipping women in the kingdom of God. And as a lifetime learner and lover of scripture with a seminary degree from DTS, Dallas Theological Seminary, Allie loves to create ways for others to know and love Jesus through his word. She's created a fresh approach to Bible study in the release of her new book that just released about a month ago called Spirit-Led Bible Study. That's what it's called. And it's actually 6 practices to bring the Bible to life. And she has written 2 other books. It's called How to Stay Standing and Blueprint for Belonging. And both provide practical help translating biblical principles into real life. Allie speaks at events and conferences and enjoys podcasting. And we have such a great, fun conversation. I think you're going to enjoy the show. She's also a runner, and she is a diehard Buckeye football fan. I think a lot of those people in Ohio are Buckeye fans, huh? But she loves to eat Mexican food almost as much as she loves her bratty calico cat. She's so cute. Wait till you meet her. And you can find out more on her Instagram account, which is at the Allie Patterson, which is A-L-L-I Patterson. So the Allie Patterson, or her website is alliepatterson.com. So enjoy the show. Well, welcome Allie Patterson to the Visibly Fit podcast. It's a delight to have you. And you know, I was mentioning before the call, it says visibly fit your body is your gym, but visibly fit is all about mind, body, spirit, emotions. And we're going to be talking probably about all of it here, but welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I feel like we have a lot in common already.
Yes, we do. We do. We love to take care of this temple that houses the Holy Spirit, right? So that's a fun thing that we have in common. Indeed. And we both love Jesus. And that is a very important one that we have in common. And so I wanted to have you on this show because sporadically I'll bring people in that are, you know, just big into theology and writing their next book and helping my listeners along in their faith journey and myself as well. And you just have come out with a new Bible study. You've written, this is what, your third book or fourth book?
Yeah, this is my third book. And my other two are like more traditional Christian nonfiction books. And this one is a Bible study, which I that's my natural habitat. So this is really fun to get to do.
Ah, that's so good. And yes, it's called Spirit-Led Bible Study, Six Practices to Bring the Bible to Life. So let's first of all talk about why did you want to write this book? Like what was like bubbling up inside of you that you're like, I've got to get this out there? Because we know there's a lot of Bible studies. I mean, I'm yes. doing so many right now. I was telling my girlfriend the other day, I'm like, I've got to say no to these Bible studies because I've got so many going on. But I love them all.
You know, I really, I've always known that I have a passion for reading and studying the Bible. That's just a way that God has wired me. So I've always done that as a part of my, really a core part of my relationship with Christ. But over the years, especially after I went to seminary, which I loved,
And you went to DTS, right?
I did.
Yeah.
Yep. I went to DTS. High, high value on the Word of God.
Yes.
Just really felt blessed by my experience there. Learned for the first time in my life, this was years ago when I went through seminary, that being more structured in your approach to the Word is a blessing in learning some core approaches to how to get into the Bible in a way that helps it make more sense is just a great, great blessing. And I also recognize that there's a component of we want to be present with a living God. We do not want to approach the Bible like an academic study. That's not what most people are doing, right? Some of us go to seminary. The vast majority of us do not. And yet the Bible is for all of us. And I thought, how can I combine this experience that I have in the Word where God feels alive to me there? How can I help people to access Jesus through his Word in a living way and be a blessing in teaching people, hey, there's a way you could approach the Bible that would actually make it easier and would get you to the real meaning of things and would get you over the hump of how to read the confusing parts. Like there actually are ways to be a blessing in that allow God to work through the Bible even better. So I was just rolling around for a long time. How do I bring these two things together? How do I bring, I believe God is present and active and personal in his Word all the time. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a correct, disciplined way to approach the Bible so that it makes more sense. So how can I bring those two things together? And so I just started paying attention in my own life because I was naturally combining those. So this Bible study is more like, let me teach you how I read the Bible. Let me teach you my methodology. Mm-hmm. So it's it really is six individual practices. So mm-hmm. you don't... it's not like a study of the book of Esther or a study of the book of John. It is a study of six practices that you can learn anytime you open your Bible that I hope will be a blessing to try to combine those two things. Like what you want when you open the Bible is you want to interact with a living God that yeah. can meet you personally, that can impact your life positively every single day. Yeah. So this, these practices, I think are things that, in the study, we use all kinds of different parts of the Bible. So you'll end up reading from different pieces of scripture just to learn the practices. So it's also a very rich, experience in the Word. But, my intent was not to give you right answers. It was to help you seek the Lord inside of his word. So you can do that all the time.
And that
really was my motive in, mm-hmm. I was just thinking, gosh, seminary, the world of seminary taught me invaluable things and gave me such a high, high value for the correct use and understanding of the word.
Yeah.
How can I try to offer that to people in a way that makes it come to life for them?
I love that. I love that so much. I know that the Bible came even more to life for me when I took a trip to Israel, right? Like it became like a pop-up book. I'm like, oh, I get it. It was only this distance. Like I thought it was, anyway, it just really made more sense when you're actually in the promised land or in the land of
life changing
where everything happened. Out. Yes.
Yeah. And about a decade ago, I went for the first time and agree totally. It's one of the things that kind of saddens me about what's going on.
I know.
In the Middle East, because I know, gosh, there are lots of reasons people have not been visiting. And
yeah,
it was life changing for me as well. Totally
yeah,
agree.
Yeah. So a lot of people, okay, let's talk about the way the world is right now. And I know I said I've got a bunch of questions, but we're going to let the Holy Spirit lead because, hey, you have a spirit-led Bible study. We're going to have a spirit-led podcast episode. So I'm thinking about like how the world is right now. And I'm talking in and out of the church, talking about, well, this is my truth, right? But there's one truth, right? But I was going to... John 16:13, it says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Mm-hmm. And so I think about that verse right there and just how even within the church, we're we're just so not unified sometimes with our theology. And it's frustrating, I think, as the body of Christ, but also it just causes disruption. And for people that are not Christians to see that we're kind of squabbling in our theology within the church, it's just very interesting. But I say all that to say that some people are reading the Bible and just kind of going through the motions because they're not fully grasping and they're not reading it as with spirit-led authority, basically, right?
Right.
And so what would you say to that person that is... Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know. They don't know how. They maybe want to, or maybe they're even afraid at what might be revealed, right?
Yeah. I actually think most of us lean on the principles and traditions we were taught because we don't truly know how to return to the Word of God and put those things to the test.
Yeah.
I believe there are differences in how we can interpret the word, and there are some legitimate reasons why people truly do differ on those things. But mostly the folks that I have run across that know what they believe, they can also respectfully, lovingly have a conversation about why the actual word of God led them to that interpretation and then have a conversation about it.
Yes, and it's a healthy conversation.
I think most people adopt and swallow whole the things they were told rather than returning to the word and investigating it for themselves.
Hmm.
And one of my favorite things about this study is that it encourages you to go directly into the word and you to go directly to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And you don't need Allie in that exchange. You really, really don't.
Yeah.
And I believe a lot in the power of the Spirit to get through to his people. And I think sometimes, especially when you get into the structures of churches, we don't really want to release that control to the Holy Spirit. We'd rather keep it ourselves and tell people what it means and what to think about it and how to interpret it and all of that. I truly, deeply believe the best thing we can all do is return to the word ourselves and wrestle through the meaning ourselves and go on the searches we need to go on with the Lord and figure the things out that he wants to lead us into. I trust him deeply to do that in your life, in my life, in the life of anyone who opens the Bible. And so this study truly was my vote of confidence. Like, you can do this. You really can. And you don't need a book where you open it up and somebody tells you the right answer. What you need is you need a relationship with a living God, and you need to go to his word and wrestle with him in it and come to understand why you believe what you believe about it.
Okay. Do you think possibly, and I'm saying this as a health practitioner, mm-hmm. that maybe it's because people are lazy and they don't want to do the work. They don't want, you know what I mean? It's like, no, just feed me. Tell me what I need to know. And I just don't want to dig in or whatever.
A little bit. I think there's probably a slice like that. Like, if I liken it to our physical bodies.
Right. Yeah.
There's definitely a portion of people that are like, just give me the pills. You know what I mean?
Like,
let me swallow the pill and do what I should be doing in the gym or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's true spiritually speaking as well.
Right.
I think, though, more common is probably what we also do in the physical realm. We just do the thing that we've always done.
It was done. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I think about, I love to run. I still love to run. But at some point.
Are you a marathoner?
I was a marathoner. I can't claim that title anymore. I ran a number of marathons about 15 years ago, but I still will do smaller races, but I haven't run a marathon in a while. But yes,
nice.
I ran Boston. I ran New York.
Nice.
It was so fun. So
wow.
cool.
I am not a marathoner. So I'm always like, way to
I'm
go.
I'm not
girl.
Anymore. Yeah. Like I said, I couldn't claim to be today, but like, are you once a marathoner, always a marathoner? Maybe.
Well, yeah. Why not? Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
we'll go with it.
But at one point I realized running isn't what my body needs right now. Mm-hmm. There's some other things that I need to learn how to do for the good of my entire body.
Good.
And
yep.
I think we fall into that spiritually too. We just go mm-hmm. like the people who taught us or the churches we've been to or the teachers we've had, they gave to us what they had to give and it was good.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things you need to develop the wholeness of your faith that you can never get from what you've always done.
Truly,
you
I just had this. Yes, I'm totally cutting you off. I'm so sorry.
But it's fine.
Because I just had this conversation with my parents. They've been going to the same church that I grew up in and was born in, and it's not feeding them. Like, and I said, you know, you guys need to go to this other church where you're being fed. And they're like, yeah, but we've always gone here. And mm-hmm. it's where their friends are. And I'm like, yeah, but so sometimes, like you said, people are just doing it out of habit. I mean, it's been 50 odd years, you know?
I do think that if you pick up Spirit-led Bible study and you want a study where you fill in the blank, you're probably going to be frustrated with it.
Mm.
Because what I want is I want you to believe that when you open the Bible, the things that are going on in your mind, in your heart, on the pages for you, they are being led and influenced and taught by the presence of the Spirit.
Yes.
So it's not a fill in the blank study. It actually, if anything, you should end the study thinking, I can do this. I am equipped to encounter God in his word and to actually figure out what it means for me.
So
and to
good.
Be led by him, like, often, you know, sometimes I'll even catch myself, even after doing this study, I'll even catch myself on my daily reading plan going like, okay, I got through it. No.
Check the box.
Right.
Right.
And because there's something in us and it is, I think God is honored when we show that we want to be in his word, even if we're doing it imperfectly.
Sure.
Bless you in that, you know, but I think better is, okay, Lord, I'm here to meet with you. I believe that we can be together in this exchange here and that you can lead me someplace that matters. And so that's really what the study attempts to kind of, it's almost like anytime you open the Bible, maybe you'll do practice 1 and 5. Maybe you'll combine 2 and 3. Maybe you'll do all 6. It's sort of tools that you would keep with you as you then begin to read the Bible all the time.
I love that. And, you know, regarding people that tend to maybe say they're too busy or they just aren't comfortable with without noise going on, they're not going to have a very good success rate typically of of hearing from the Holy Spirit, right? So what would you say to that person that just needs to get quiet? What would you say?
There's a practice in the study. It's just called listening. And part of it is learning how to engage your spiritual ears and your physical ears. So that part of the practice, I actually encourage people to listen to the word of God. Instead of using your eyes, use your ears for this one. And to practice letting that be the primary filler. I even know people who will, they'll read while they're doing other things, or we are like multiple input culture now. Like I watch my kids do homework with headphones in their ears and I'm going like, never. Take this out, you know? And we're used to that. And I think when we can slow down, back up and just do a single input, we do train our ears. I talk about this in scripture a lot. We train our spiritual ears when we engage scripture because we're learning the language of the Holy Spirit, the character of God, the personality of God. And we begin to recognize that in the world around us. We begin to hear it when we're not inside the Bible, you know? But the scriptures are the place that we tune our ear to it. We understand his voice and what it sounds like and what he might say and what he values and what his personality's like. And, you know, then if we can't quietly do that, we have no hope. There's just so much noise in the world. It's hard enough when you are trying to hear him. If you're not attuned to his voice in any way and not training in that, it's
nearly impossible.
It's going to get so lost. Yeah. And we already tend toward feeling alone. And then, you know, even those of us seeking Jesus actively are like, God, where are you? Why aren't you saying anything? You know? And I just think it compounds that feeling that maybe he's left me, maybe I'm alone here. And we can actually help that by, okay, quiet down, one input, get in his word. Even the days that feel dry or boring or you're not sure it mattered, it definitely mattered. Mattered. Because when I was in seminary, my one of my professors described us like a 2-liter bottle. There's like this really small circle on the top. So you have to drip in the liquid really slowly, but it's filling all the time. And I thought that was a cool visual. He was like, constant drips, constant exposure to the word. And you are getting filled.
You're getting filled up.
Even when you don't think that one drop mattered, it absolutely mattered.
That is a great visual to think of for sure.
Yeah.
Well, your Bible study has 6 practices. And so I would love to dig into one or two of them, if you're cool with that. I know we don't want to give away the whole study. We don't want to give away everything, but I would love to just kind of hear one or two that is maybe come a couple of your favorite practices.
Yes, I'll start with, and it is the first one in the study, and it actually is so foundational. I began with it, and it is probably the practice that if, as we were talking earlier, if we tend toward the things we were always taught that the Bible said, this is a great, great practice for those of us who maybe aren't super comfortable going back into the Bible and going like, okay, what does it say about this? Or what do I think about that? This is a great one for that. It's called observation, and it's exactly what it sounds like. You can lay down any need to interpret, any need to understand it, any need to explain it. All you're going to do in this practice is you're going to, in your passage, whatever, and we have some in the study that we practice it through, but anytime you're reading, you have your passage and you are going to be an astute observer of what's there. Not what it means, what you actually see. And so an observation could be the verbs are all in the past tense. That's really important observation. Or maybe you're observing a passage, and I'll say on verb tense, maybe you observe a passage and it's all in past tense except one looks to the future. Those are excellent observations as you're reading the Bible. Wait, hold on. It switched.
Yeah.
It was talking about the past and now it's present, or now it's future. Those are very simple observations that if you stop enough to grab them are deeply, deeply meaningful about how you understand what the Bible is saying, right?
I love that.
So that's just one example. It was a nerdy one of verb tense, but it could be there's a list in this passage. That's a great observation. What's on that list? You know, there's this is a dialogue between two people, and you're just observing. There's maybe you read a passage in the Gospels and you realize Jesus never made a statement. He only asked questions.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So again, you're making notes all through this practice about what do you see? And if you do this with other people, you will be amazed, because somebody else is reading and they're going to see 10 things you didn't even notice.
It's funny that you say that, because my husband and I, we read scripture together every morning and discuss and whatever. And it's usually something that I'll see that he's like, why do you pick out like the smallest of things you notice? I'm like, because it popped out and I'm just curious, you know?
Yes.
So that observation allows for incredible dialogue.
The other thing observation let me do is it made me feel, no matter what my level of experience with the scriptures, it made me feel like I have a place in this conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a great equalizer, because the people that you are around that don't have much experience with the Bible, they will see things more clearly than those of us who have been reading the Bible for many years, because we can have clouded vision.
Yeah, you've read it so many times, you just kind of skip over it sometimes. Yeah, yeah.
And it is so life-giving to do this study with a mixed group of people, which is so wonderful, because this practice says your sight matters, because you are going to have, again, a spirit-led observation of this scripture that's going to add to our understanding as a group.
I can't wait to confirm all this with my husband. This is good.
Oh, man, it's so cool. So I have an observation I made, and I will say I made this observation and I immediately knew this can't be right. So it will also convict us, like point out where like something's not right here. Mm. I was reading a particular story about how Jesus treated someone. And I wrote down the observation, Jesus is being unkind. And I was like, no, he's not. I'm the one who's not seeing this correctly.
Wow.
And so it caused me to hone in on that and to go deeper in my understanding. I have missed something. If I think that the Lord is being unkind, then I am missing something, because that's not his
character.
Not
his character, right.
And so it really helped me. If you stop and think about what you're observing, it will also point out, oh, did it say that? Or did I read that into it?
Right.
Or did I make an assumption there? And so that's the other beautiful thing about reading with others, is somebody else will go, hold on, it doesn't actually say that.
That's good.
And that we catch each other. I was doing that with a good, she's actually my cousin, but a good friend and mentor of mine. And she said something about Abraham being grumpy. And I said, where do you see that? And I said, well, let's go back and try. Why don't you read it in one voice and I'll read it in another? And the truth was, we don't know. It doesn't.
Sometimes the answer is we don't know. Yeah.
It doesn't tell us. And she was like, oh my gosh, I've always read this as grumpy. He was grumpy. He was grumbling. And I was like,
yeah,
maybe not.
Yeah, that's good.
And so it will challenge us to drop those old things that somebody who loves the Lord and read this and thought Abraham was grumpy.
Kind of was projected on us. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's, again, no shade. We all have ways we read the scriptures. Mm-hmm. And the truth is that's a maybe. But it points out the maybes versus the definitelys.
Right. And we need to really...
This is what the Lord was definitely saying. Mm-hmm. And this is maybe we don't really know, or we need some more investigation, or, oh gosh, I thought it said that, but it actually doesn't say that. Mm-hmm. When we slow down, observation slows us down.
Yeah.
The first time I ever truly practiced, I had three sentences, it was a short paragraph. And the person I was doing it with challenged me to make 30 observations about three sentences. And I thought, wow, no way can I do that. And by the time we were done, we had like 50.
That's incredible.
It's wild.
Huh.
And that's why it's so cool to do the study with others.
Because
it is so enriching, and we begin to see how we see the word. Mm-hmm. And that it colored our understanding of what it means in certain cases. And other people help us see around that. It's very humbling.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I think appropriately so. So yeah.
What a great practice.
And encouraging people to do it together, because you can validate, like, hey, your view on this actually does matter. You saw something I didn't see. And also, hold on a second. You just made an assumption. That's not what the text says.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into lots of interesting exchanges that way. So,
yeah. Yeah. No, I know that there's been a couple times where I've thought, you know, either like Jesus was kind of yelling a certain statement, when really, when I've had conversation, it was, no, he was just making a statement. But in my mind, I'm like, no, he was yelling. Like, he was passionate about it.
Well, so, that's something we look at, like, when, if we do want to make an observation, if we want to say something about the tone, then we say it from what we see in the text. Because there are some times that you read and you're very clear, there are elements of anger or judgment or joy or whatever. But you can see that in the text. Yeah. And if not, then we have to be very careful. It might just be one possibility among several of what the tone could have been, you know?
Right.
But sometimes
we
know. Sometimes that's a great observation, is we have a clue to the tone, and that's a good one, you know?
I love it. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we read into it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
A lot of times, probably.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, I am just so excited about this new study, and it just came out last month. So I want people to get this and start studying and have this spirit-led Bible study and have these practices in play and just kind of elevate the way in which they are reading the word and interpreting the word and have the spirit, have the Holy Spirit, you know, reveal the word to them in a new and greater way. So the best way to get the book, is it at alliepatterson.com, or
you certainly can get some
Amazon
links to it, but it's really anywhere that you want to buy it. Yes, it is on Amazon, and it's sold anywhere you would normally find a Bible study. It should be there.
Okay.
And there's even a selection of Walmarts and Meijers that have picked it up for the spring and summer.
That's
and
great.
So you might even run across it in your Walmart when you're shopping. You never know.
Hey, I love that. That's so cool. Well, I got just a couple of questions I want to ask just personally, since you are into health and wellness, and you're a runner, a past marathoner, but you still have that marathon mindset. You're a go-getter. You're an achiever. And so some people may be like, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to, you know, read the Bible in a year or whatever. And, you know, it's great for Allie. It's great for Wendy. I mean, they're achievers. They are disciplined, blah, blah, blah. What would you say to someone who maybe isn't quite so disciplined and how they could accomplish Bible in a year or something of that, if that's a goal?
I think any plan is a good plan. So if you know that you struggle to stick with something And Bible in a year, I can tell you, I did that last year. I'm doing it again this year. It's a 365 effort. If that's more than you can bite off, that's like 3 to 4 chapters a day, 365 days a year. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. You can also read the Bible a paragraph at a time. And, or you can start, if you know you're prone to fall off, you can start, just read it every Monday. You know,
it's good. Yeah.
My husband and I have a joke about 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes. Like, we'll say that to each other about things that we struggle to start. He'll go, don't forget, 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes. Just yesterday, you're going to love this. Okay. Same mindset. Just yesterday, I had a meeting run long and it ate up my workout time. I was going to leave. Mm-hmm. I was going to get to the gym and then pick up my daughter. And I had my shoes, I had it all timed out, and the meeting just crushed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I looked at my watch and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what I can do today. Do you know how long I spent in the gym?
How long?
21 minutes and 13 seconds.
Oh my gosh. I'm so proud of you. I mean, I just met you, but I'm so proud of you. Like, that's the way you do it.
I was just like, you know what? Nothing. 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes. It's like, if you don't judge what you can do and you just start there, you're going to be just fine, because the benefit, exactly, like physically, you're going to walk out the door. I walked out the door after 21 minutes and 13 seconds. And I went, I did what I could do today. That's it.
And it felt good.
I felt better. I went home. The worst thing is putting on your running shoes and never getting out the door. So you've got a Bible sitting by your bed and you never open it, it's only going to get harder and harder to open it. If you have a Bible app on your phone and you downloaded it because you genuinely want to do it and you've never once opened that app, just, it's okay. 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes. And start small. And my guess is the goodness that you'll feel from that one move toward something better will snowball. And so I think if we just put a lot of pressure on ourselves, we judge ourselves. Reading scripture is a lifelong endeavor. Mm-hmm. If you're in a season where all you can handle is, you know, 5 minutes, 2-3 days a week, great. Start there. Like, thumbs up. And you will hear nothing from me but amazing. And I love the fact that you did it. And keep going. Because remember,
that 5 minutes turns into 10, turns into 15. It's kind of like that walk around the block turns into 2-3 miles, you know, it's the same thing.
And it's the drip in the 2-liter bottle.
Yes.
You can't take in a ton anyway. So, okay, just start small. And I think too many people in the church world, quote unquote, just do not give us the grace of being normal people trying to live the best life that we can every day.
Amen. Yeah.
And so I just say
grace
anywhere. Yeah. Any plan is better than no plan.
That's good. I love it. You got to have the grace. All right. Yeah. Well, on a personal note, what's kind of something that you and your husband or you and your family like to do on a regular basis? That's kind of your, because you guys are at Crossroads Church, right? In Cincinnati, Ohio. And so you're teaching, you're preaching, you're in that space a lot. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm around a lot of people in the pastoral. It can, while it's very fulfilling, it can also take a lot of your energy too. So what do you do to fill back up just to have some fun?
Yes. Okay. So my family is at a really fun stage. I have 4 kids. They're 14, 16, 18, 20.
Oh my goodness.
And they're a blast. 2 boys and 2 girls. And so we have, right now we've had different rhythms over time. So I'll just describe what we do right now. Right now we take turns planning. So it's not a burden for anyone, but once a month we have like family meeting that includes family fun. And once a month, you're also assigned one other person in the family to connect with and do something fun. Ooh, and so like this month, I have my daughter, Hope. She's my 14-year-old. So we get to acknowledge like what's fun for us. And then we make a connection time and go do that thing. And then awesome. Whoever's planning for the family that month, like when it was my month to plan, we went bowling. So I try to think about like, what's something fun for everybody? One of my kids is really competitive. One really likes to bowl. One will do whatever as long as we're eating something while we do it, you know? So I just try to,
But you have to be intentional, right? You got to be intentional for fun even.
And when they're older, I think our kids are better at carrying some weight than we think. And so we just, my 14-year-old will plan just like the rest of us, and it's great. So we just try to make it a point to play pickleball, go bowling, have a really, like one month we just had we went to like one of the fanciest restaurants and all we ordered was dessert. And we had our family meeting over like super fancy desserts.
Uh-huh, cute.
And it was a blast. Everyone was like, they probably hated us because we took up a table for an hour and a half and we just ordered all the desserts, but whatever. So we just try to think of ways that we can genuinely connect with each other and mm-hmm. that puts a smile on everybody's face. Mm-hmm. I think the name of the game as my kids get older is making it fun for them to be around the family.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, nobody wants to get 20 years down the road and have their kids actively avoiding them, which is
right.
a lot of people that I know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're tough. Trying to avoid that with some fun.
Sounds like you're doing it very intentionally. I love it. Well, I have so enjoyed this time with you. We could probably keep talking here for a long time. We're definitely compatible in so many things that you do. I'm right there with you as far as working out and studies and such. But I love that you're on a mission to help people really know the Lord and to have it be a spirit-led experience. And so, again, if you're listening and you want to know more about Allie and what she's written, the Spirit-Led Bible Study, go to alliepatterson.com or go to Amazon, or like she said, even Walmart might have the book. But check it out, because I know you will benefit greatly. So thank you, Allie. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. So fun to be with you anytime.
Yeah. Thank you so much. All right. Thanks again for tuning in to Visibly Fit. We'll catch you next time right here. Same time, same place. And if you're looking for a workout experience, mind, body, spirit, emotions to get you into a new trajectory for your health, go to getvisiblyfit.com and we will make it happen. All right. Be blessed. Take care. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypet.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.